I'm sorry.
Okay. This is basically about really starting to get the station involved in the anti-war coalition. As Bill just pointed out earlier, the bloodbath that is taking place now in Iraq, and which is only going to get worse. We just must do something more active. Don and I, probably some others of you, were very involved in a group back in the Central American struggle called the Wednesday Morning Coalition, where we met without fail every Wednesday. And there were sometimes two of us, there were sometimes hundreds of us. We would sometimes get arrested. I wrote a guerrilla play one time that we did. We had an activity every single week. I'm suggesting this. It was always at the federal building, so it was always the same place. Everybody knew where to go if they could be free. Sharon suggested an evening. That seems interesting to me. I'm suggesting that the station take the time. And Wednesday Morning Coalition has a background. I even have a whole book on it that we put together for training purposes for other people that wanted to start coalitions of peace. That we take a time slot in the week, preferably Wednesday, where we not only met at a place like the federal building, but we covered at the same time at the station with a show, people talking about the war and covering the up-to-the-moment things on the war, so that it would be outdoors and at the station at the same time.
Thank you. Do you have a...
Also, I just want to say one other thing. Bill and I also were talking about this. Anybody who wants to get involved in a discussion, see one of the two of us, and has any ideas about a discussion about where do we go from here? Because we do want to start putting people together and perhaps getting money to have a spot for people to think and talk about what happened in this election, where we're going from here.
All right, thank you, Jane. You know, this agenda item is going to be very time-consuming. Does anyone on the board... Does anyone oppose me giving, say, a two-minute time limit on speakers for this? Yeah. Because this is a 13-minute agenda item, and we're going to be moving over that very quickly. Is there a response to Jane's, Eva?
Don, I would prefer taking all the questions, and then I can answer them.
Yes, okay. The chair recognizes Sonali.
Really briefly on the issue of the propositions, I still think that KPFK should have taken or could take in the future. I know that it was really difficult for us to come together the last minute on this election, but the margin of that Prop 66 failed with, I think if we had really been on the offensive and trying to expose the lies and the ads, we really could have made a big difference in getting people to actually vote for that proposition, and that's, you know, we'd be saving people's lives there. Other question was with respect to our election coverage, and I'd like Eva to actually reflect on this a little bit, and in fact we spoke at the producer's office recently where I think, Eva, you agreed with me that our election coverage really left a lot to be desired, and I know that Marie had come to one of our staff meetings and expressed that, and I was not, as a staff producer, invited to one election meeting, not one meeting for producers to come together and decide how to cover elections. It was extremely fragmented. We could have done a much better job. I'm very sad that we didn't collectively as a station do a much better job. There was, I think, one meeting that I got wind of the day before the election, and I couldn't make it because it was so last minute. So I really feel like we didn't do a good enough job on that. And then lastly, I want to ask if you could reflect a little bit on the motion that we had passed as a board a few meetings ago about a staff listserv to help staff communicate about the elections. I think you weren't at that meeting, so I'd asked you after the meeting via email if that could be implemented, and I think you said you would look into it, and I don't know if anything has happened about that, so if you could please respond to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Sonali. Marie.
Uh,
Yes, I was at that, Sonali, I was at that meeting and commented on the poor quality of the election coverage. As a matter of fact, I don't know what happened after because I did not listen to KPFK during the election. Anyway, Eva, this question is for you. I noticed that there are several positions open. Is there any way that we can get a copy of the job requirements for these positions?
I believe Eva is taking all the questions down, and she'll address that as she responds to the board. Thank you, Marie. Harrison?
I'm interested in the utilization of the overage. I'm certainly not opposed to paying back wages. But I do remember and was very interested in the motion that we passed here where we allocated money for the excess money for training for an audit of the subscriptions department and for news. And I'm curious as to where we stand with that. Have you interacted with National about whether in fact we will get to keep all of it or some of it or none of it? And are you requesting that the board pass a resolution to amend the budget to utilize that money for back pay?
Thank you, Harrison. David?
Yeah, I wanted to speak to a couple of things that have already been said. One of the things that's going on in the National Finance Committee that's kind of bizarre, and I'm having a lot of difficulty getting my hands around and would really welcome a more active treasurer, is this issue of where KPFK stands relative to its budget requirements. The CFO keeps telling us that last year we finished behind on projection. They wanted us to do a mini fund drive to make up that money. There's this policy having to do with the amount of with having an operating excess of 1 month's reserve to bridge us across time. But when I raised the fact that we were over, that we did better than our goal in this drive, he said, well, but you started this year behind because we were behind on projection last year. We're behind on projection. Well, one thing, we didn't come through the end of the year with a full 1 month operating reserve, but in part that was because we had heavy legal expenses. Now, this year we're budgeted to come to the end of the year with a 1 month operating expense excess if we make all our goals. So what the hell does this mean in terms of whether or not this is an excess? And at what point do we get to start saying, yes, we get to spend this money? Those things remain unclear. So I'm hoping the Finance Committee will deal with it, but we also need to deal with it at the National. While we did approve a resolution as a board that was part of the budgeting process that said that it would get used for these purposes, we didn't actually deal with how budget adjustments would occur. So I'm hoping that we can all talk about that. And I agree, I wrote it down with Harrison, we talked about having money for training if we get anything over. The union contract negotiations, that's with AFTRA. The shop is still after. I just want to remind people that as part of the takeover in the prior period, there was a shift of the shop from UE to AFTRA, and part of that had to do with the fact that there was a relinquishment of rights of, like, state. It gave management more rights to remove people from the air in exchange for higher benefits, and UE was in a very different place. The last thing I want to say, just quickly to finish, is director hires. We had a search process in the past for some of those positions, and I'm wondering where, and I appreciate intensely that we have been invited for the first time into that process, but I'm wondering what the formal process is, whether any of these positions are subject to a formal search process.
Thank you, David. Margaret.
Yes, I wanted to quickly say something before Eva responds to the proposal from Jan, just to give a piece of information. One is that there was an existence before a KPFK peace coalition that had met and that did the... that did the work of pulling together the various anti-war coalitions in the city. People may remember there was a time that wasn't the case, and it was part of the work of the KPFK peace coalition that then made it possible for a formation of what was called the Coalition of Coalitions to include all of the various, you know, groups and coalitions working in the city. And I would think before creating something that's new, there are many, many people, myself included, the network that I'm involved with, and others that are working very hard at anti-war work, and I think that it would be worthwhile to for perhaps the KPFK Peace Coalition to be reinitiated and to have a meeting with those who are working on the ground so that we're not doing recreating the wheel or putting forward things that may in fact undercut rather than strengthen efforts that are already on the ground, but make sure that it is also broadened. Very quickly on the question of the job, I think what, did you mean job descriptions? And coverage. I wasn't part of any meetings on election coverage. Many of you may know that the day of the election itself, in the afternoon, I was brought in and did help with some of that election coverage. So I'm not quite sure how, you know, how the process went. I've been, you know, on the road a lot and not attending the production meetings. So I'm not quite sure about that. I did hear some concerns about it, but just to say that that's what happened on the final day in the afternoon in any case.
Thank you. And we're going to take two more speakers and then we're going to return to the GM, Israel. You may need a microphone. I think that's it. I can speak loudly now.
Yeah.
My
on the matter of election follow-up and coalitions, again, we don't need to reinvent things that are already existing. If we can do something that's uniquely different, cohesive, functional, that's one thing. I think the best thing we can do, the first priority ought to be to do better quality programming and more of it. And that's something which is a long discussion we can't do here. And that includes news, no matter what news policy and criteria, how to do news as against commentary or analysis or calls to actions. It needs to be a discussion of all these things, I think, perhaps in a workshop sometime. I'm not at all happy with our news, and including the election thing. And we don't live in a vacuum. There are other stations in the area, and there are other sources. We need to be in touch. That isn't saying to follow them, but to be in relationship so that we supplement and enrich people's information and help to build broader coalitions. And that's a long discussion, I say, which needs to be taken up. Rahul last night at a meeting, which I was at, where Sonali was at, voiced some of my concerns that for years, that we need to rethink not just what they, quote unquote, are doing and are motivated, but how we think and motivate and act. Some of our own things, seriously. And that's just one touch of these things. I think that's very important if we're going to not just repeat the same pattern over and over again, simply with musical chairs.
Thank you. And then finally, Donna.
I wanted to address Proposition 66, because this was an issue that was so critical to the communities that we're trying to reach out to. And if anybody was leading the fight on 66, you had an LSB member sitting right here, me, who could have given an enormous amount of information and shed a lot of light on that proposition. And I know that every time I come in the station and I try to propose new programming, often I get shut down by, oh, the FCC won't allow this, or that's up to the producers. But I think that it is the duty of KPFK to get around those restrictions by ensuring that people know what's happening. For example, did people know, or did we talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger's attacks on 66 and those other terrorist governors that he had with him? Did we talk about the politicians, the Latino politicians who called Latino voters and in Spanish urged them to vote no on 66, some who may be running for the Los Angeles City Council? You know, that kind of investigation, we need to expose these people. We need to investigate and we need to expose system, because that's working directly against our issues. Are we talking about the absentee votes that they're still counting on all of the propositions, but particularly on 66? Because if we keep pressure up on Shelley and the county registers, we still may, as you know, there's a possibility, have a victory in 66. If not, put enough pressure on the governor that he already on Wednesday is reaching out with an olive branch. So those are the kind of issues. Without addressing or endorsing Proposition 66 directly, we need to let the people know what's happening. You know, who's against us? What are they doing? And that's the kind of programming I'm hoping that we will present to our communities. We keep talking about bringing in communities of color. What better way would there have been than to give them the right information about three strikes?
Thank you very much. Now, we're actually, because we're way over on this agenda item, we're way over. I do want to just add one other thing. But I want to add, around on-air promotions of LSB meetings, what the policy, who's responsible, because I heard people say that they did not hear on-air promotions for this LSB meeting, which may account for some of this. And I agree with David around search committees, how formally the board is involved in search committees for key staff. Eva, I'm sorry to say this, but you have probably like 8 to 10 minutes. Can you do it in that amount of time?
I'll try, Don, my best. I'll start with the, I'm just going to answer all of them, not in any particular order. With regard to job descriptions, I'm not sure, Marie, which ones you want, whether it's just the ones that we're looking to do interviews. The job postings have been on the website for like 2 months already. So maybe you just want to call and let me know specifically which ones you want. With the search committees, I have to say I'm really disturbed, you guys. I've been to these LSB meetings and I've asked for 3 months for LSB members to sign up to the committees. And the only person that signed up, the only people, was Jim DeEugenio and Jane Halloran. And I cannot continue to wait another 2-3 months. I'm sorry, I can't do it. And that's why these search committees have been so problematic, because people don't respond. We went ahead, we scheduled it this week. I let people know, you can either call me tomorrow morning. The schedule didn't go out because of the internet problem. So if you can call tomorrow morning, we've called several members on the LSB to say, look, some people indicated they want to be part of it, and we've called people. So we need to take some responsibility here as well. David, I'm just going to comment.
So there is a surrogate rule.
That's what I was trying to put together for several months, and nobody on this LSB has responded. So I'm saying, you know, let's go ahead and start the interview process this week. On the Coalition for Peace, I think what I want to suggest, because this comes to the whole issue of preemptions, what I want to look at with the Program Council probably and the Program Oversight Committee is to have some open slots on KPFK where they never filled, but they use in cases of emergency or when there's something really important. We don't have to preempt somebody. We just need to go to those slots. So I need to do some opening on the grid to be able to do that. With regard to the elections coverage, I don't want to blame anyone. I don't want to use anybody's names. I just want to say it was definitely not my vision. And I have to take responsibility because I should have played a more active role there. We had an elections coordinator, and like some of you that weren't in any of those meetings, I wasn't either. I think anything we do, if only one person decides on what goes on our airwaves, that's problematic, specifically with something as great as the elections, where one person was dominating not just the airwaves, but how that programming happens. That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem. And, you know, with regards to Donna, when you say Prop 66, I would have loved to take a stand on it. But we have to, as I said, we have to find ways to do things and get more organized and better organized, where I don't have to look at Prop 66 a couple of days before the elections. But if we know these things are going to happen, let's start planning together and find ways for the station to do these initiatives, because it's crucial that we do. And investigative, look, our news, you guys, is not great. The way we can start changing our news is for some of you to get involved with the news director interviews and see if we can come up with something different. Also, I'm looking at calling at least a half day within the next month or so, a half day with programmers, LSB, everyone, where we can sit and talk about what direction is the station going to take with programming, given the political environment that we live in now. We have to sit and strategize about KPFK's programming, and that would include the outreach. That would include how do we get more listeners to KPFK? How do we increase our subscribers? But basically, we have to be able to come up with a vision on programming, and I'd like to do that as a collective body rather than just me putting my vision forward. So I'll put a date forward on that. LSB promotions, Don, I take responsibility for that, and I know that we've promoted every LSB meeting. If we didn't do this one, I tell you, it's probably because of the candidate statements. There's been a couple of things.
The website was down, and a lot of the infrastructure was down, too. I understand.
So generally, I make sure that the LSB promos and things happen, and we just had a lot of challenges with our infrastructure.
Harrison said he did here several times. Briefly.
See?
No, I heard several promotions for this meeting on air.
I'm going to tell my friends they're wrong.
Well, they didn't listen every minute.
Okay.
Every minute, that's true. They didn't listen.
It was hacked. Yes, the website was hacked.
Better than that.
No, the website was hacked. We found out 2 days after Amino thought that he was responsible for it, and I have the whole explanation. We went through that whole thing there. So, you know what? Yes, KPFK's programming, we're doing good programming, but the quality of KPFK's programming has to improve. It just absolutely has to improve. Community involvement has to improve, and like you say, you know, we need to do live coverage from the events. I made a proposal several months ago that we should have our morning show and drive time and afternoon and different shows, because we can do wireless broadcasting now, go out to communities and do the shows from there with the community involvement. So there's a lot we can do. As I said, I'll call a meeting in the next month or so. Before we go into December, we'll try and pull this meeting together where we can invite all programmers, all the stakeholders of the station, and we'll talk about where we're taking programming for our station, particularly given the next 4 years. So that's definitely something that I'm looking at doing. Let me come to budget issues.
Just real quick, maybe some of us could help pull that together, because that could be very complicated.
Say that again.
Just to help you pull that together.
Oh, yes.
Is that kind of a meeting you need to build?
I do. I'm going to need a lot of help with that. I think, So maybe if anybody's interested, they can just let me know either today or call me at the office. I saw Bill's hand. So on Sonali's issue about the staff list, I think there was a couple of issues that came out in that meeting that morning, that staff wasn't aware of that list, that programmers weren't aware of that list. And what I'm going to say about this at this point is that there's a staff list and there's a programmers list. It doesn't seem like there was involvement from those two groups to get another listserv started. So if it's for report backs on LSB and PNB meetings, my suggestion at this point is just to continue using the staff list and the programmers list.
What's the programmers list?
We have a programmers list.
All I know is
unpaid staff. It's all on one list.
Wait.
Can I finish?
Yeah, let's let the gym finish, and then let's let Eva finish, and then we'll take any small follow-ups.
Also, just to make it clear that we don't editorialize. Sometimes I think people get confused about it. We don't. We give total freedom to the programmers and producers. And that's why the vision is so important, and that's why we really need to strategize about what we want to achieve in the next few years. Because I don't always agree with what's on our airwaves. And that's why I say it's going to be planning, it's going to be strategizing, and the vision is going to be important as to what we want to do with programming. On the budget issue, yes, this is a challenging thing, Dave, because I disagree with the national office. According to the national office, we still have $123,000 deficit that they've written into our 2005 budget. So all the overage, we will have the same tax central services on it as we do with our regular fund drive numbers. So number one, that the central services will go out on the entire total. With the 123, that just means that the 100,000 we made over, that they're still telling us we still have a shortage because of the fund drive that we fall short of in October 2003.
And that's bull.
Good.
So we really, you know, this board is going to have to do something about this, because if that's where we are right now, Lonnie's going to be here on Tuesday because we'll do negotiations all day, but that's my dispute with him, and I don't think that 123,000 should still be there. So until that gets resolved, where the overage go, according to National, there is no overage. That's the first thing.
We need to fight.
And that's what David is referring to, not to Eva's comment, but to the national.
Okay. So I believe I've answered all the questions, unless there's something specific I left out.
Good. You came in under time, which we approved. You came in 28 seconds under time, so that's
great. Thank you,
Don. A real radio person. Now, we have a couple follow-ups. I think Maria had a quick comment.
Just real quickly, one of the reasons we didn't get to cover the propositions that closely was because we had the fund drive, and we needed to have the fund drive, and so for 2 weeks we couldn't cover the election. So just so everybody remembers that part of why, like, Prop 66 didn't get properly covered was because we were too busy raising money. So.
Sonali?
Just on the issue of the staff listserv, the reason why many staff members don't know about this list is because it doesn't exist. And the point was to send them an invitation to join a list so that they can get involved in governance issues, so that people who they've never heard of who might be running for office actually can interact with them and communicate with them. They're completely cut off from the governance process. There's only a few of us who are involved. They don't really, Maria, I mean, you agree with me, Alan, maybe, and Madeline agree with me, that they are not involved very heavily in the governance process of this network, and many of them are not even aware anymore that they're going to be expected to vote once more in an election. And so that was the point of this listserv. We can send an invitation out to people who are listed as voters. They can respond. If they don't want to join the listserv, they don't have to. It's an invitation. It would be a blind invitation as per the resolution. So, you know, I'd like maybe to hear a little follow-up. And also real quick about the election coverage, the written report, the GM written report reflects a very different reality as to what you just verbally said, and I'm wondering if you might be able to alter your written report to reflect what you said, because according to this written report, everything was wonderful and the staff, producers, and programmers came together and participated in a professional manner with respect to our election coverage, and I think we all just agreed that didn't happen. So I'm wondering if you can actually edit that, or at least, you know, I don't know, this is not consistent with what you verbally said.
Okay, it's recorded in a minute, so I think it's there. Also, just to let you know, I don't do this report alone because I believe everybody should have input. So the program department sends me their comments. I don't alter it. The managers of the different departments send their comments, what they want to report in this GM report, and I don't alter that. I report here, so I do the alterations here. But I take that comment. On the listserv, my suggestion to you, Sonali, because several staff has come to me and programmers, they didn't want another listserv. My suggestion to you is to send out an invitation to the programmers list that's already existing, to the staff list that's already existing, and get people's feedback, because it's important that they are involved
with governance and that they know what's going on. So can we start there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Now, as chair, I'm just going to rule that we're so far over time on this agenda item that it would take a board vote to extend discussion and debate. So we need to be clear that this was a 13, very unrealistically, this was a 13-minute agenda item, and it's been like 2 days and 3 hours, so we're way over. So I, lacking a motion to extend on this agenda item, we will have to move the agenda.
I'd like to extend by 5 minutes. I have one more point that I'd really like the opportunity to make on this.
Okay,
report.
It's been moved and seconded. As seconded, that we extend 5 minutes. Are there objections from any member of the board? Okay. Okay, see.
I'd like to hear what the point is.
Well, you'll hear it if we extend, but we can't hear it unless we extend. So if there are no objections. You object. Okay, let's go to a vote. Those in favor of extending for 5 minutes, raise your hands.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Opposed? 1. Abstentions? Okay, noting 4, I think 4 abstentions. Extension for 5 minutes. This is going to be strictly enforced. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, now we'll establish a list. The chair recognizes David Adelson.
Yeah, I just... Whoa.
1 minute at the most.
Yeah, that's a very good point. We need to get 5 speakers. We're going to need to limit to 1 minute. So let's go.
I just want to say that, you know, people should recognize that around the network, there's no programming schedule with as much openness and flexibility. There's no relationship between the management and the LASB that's as collaborative as this one has been. So despite all the critiques of what is, the fact that we're actually being invited into the process to make it better and that we're starting to kind of come together around making the station better is really genuinely unique, both network-wide and historically. I checked with Israel because I didn't want him to contradict me, but in the last 10 years that I've been involved with this, I haven't heard any report that says, hey, I'd like the LSB, I mean, that says collaborative in the sense where we've gotten to as many substantive issues and it seems like the possibility to work together. So despite whatever critiques there were, I think we should all take some pleasure in the fact that we're really as a station in a better position than anyone else in the network, and I think it shows in the response of the community. And so I just wanted to have that positive note that all these things are design challenges, not nothing more.
Thank you. You came in right on time. The stack is Ed, Marie, and Donna. Ed?
I acknowledge the same thing. At the same time, Eva, you really should, it really is a manager's report, and we expect it to have you already having edited or whatever. You say that programmers have, or the program heads have put into this report the thing. You should be able to present something that really reflects your attitude, because they're not here, and there's no way for us to that if this is not an accurate report, it should be. And I'm not faulting you in retrospect. I'm saying that when you bring something to us, I hope that it more reflects the reality.
Okay. Thanks, we'll do.
Thank you very much. Marie?
I just want to reflect back on Proposition 66. I don't know if many of you noticed, about three or four weeks before the election, just about every major newspaper in Southern California gave a two-page on the problems with gangs in the community. I know the Press Telegram did an extensive 2 weeks of every, I think it's two or three weeks every Monday, on a report on the gang activities, and that was one way to scare people about the problems with gangs and why people should vote against 66. I just wanted to comment on that.
Thank you, Marie. And Donna?
I wanted to say that I didn't realize that I was invited to be part of the search committee, and I accept that invitation. I would like to be a part of the search committee. I think that one of the reasons maybe I'm so confused is sometimes we send things out by email, or we might even talk about it, but we don't do the follow-up that we need. And so here I am sitting here going, I'd like to be part of the search committee, so please let me be.
Thank you. And Fernando?
I'm not one of the station managers, as many of you know, but since 1976, I never seen on KPFK a election coordinator that has had, first of all, it didn't exist, they didn't have one, and if they did, it didn't have as many hours of drive time hours during the week to speak about the elections. So despite of what the manager say or may not say, this is a very unique radio station in the history of Los Angeles. That the election coverage, I beg to differ, it was quite broad. We could have done better. Of course, we could always do better. But this election coverage that we had on KPFK, it was the base on, the best on KPFK's history. Thank you.
Thank you, Fernando. And I want to thank the general manager for coming and making a report and listening. And we're going to have a continuing and closer relationship because there are some things that are falling through the cracks. And just parenthetically, I thought M.T. Karthik was kicked upstairs, but didn't go up there. He's
just
still with
back.
Us, which is fine. I mean, you know, he's back, yeah. Okay, so let's go ahead. The next agenda item here is agenda item... Oh, did you want to speak?
No, I just wanted to say that Karthik's term with the station is going to be coming to an end, so that people aren't surprised about that. He took on the election role for a certain period of time, so his contract actually ends on December 15th.
December 15th.
I just wanted to... he might exit earlier, but we still need to talk about that.
Yeah, and I don't want my comment to be misinterpreted. It was not either an attack or a criticism on MT. It was just that I kept hearing that he was going up to the network, and he never seemed to get there. I don't know what happened. Let's go to agenda item four. Let's go to agenda item four. We are so over, so if we can pick
okay,
up...
Okay, let me try to do this real
okay.
quick. Community
and
advisory
so
board.
Community advisory cab report. Chair recognizes Bill and thanks him.
Thank you, Don. The Community Advisory Board is now has all of its members, and I can't remember the exact number, but I think Julie sent all of us a complete list of all the people that's on there. I think it's about 23 people. They had their first meeting, and it was a small turnout for that first meeting, but it was good, and there was a number of board members who were there. Julie, Niall, Don, Israel, and myself. I don't know if there was anyone else that was there. Basically, just to try to give people a background, share the bylaws, let them know what their charge was, and what support they could expect from us. And what we wanted to make clear was that we were really taking this committee seriously in terms of the assessment that they do. Now, we know that this first report they do is not going to be real thorough. We have to get it in to meet the guidelines. But they're going to have a year after that in which they can really develop a very substantive plan for doing the kind of assessment that I think is really going to help the programming council and this body and the station management. Having said that, I think of the assumption, at least that Julie and I had as kind of the folks who were kind of spearheading this process, is that the CAB would be able to take it from here, but they're having difficulties. As you know, the folks on the CAB are all very busy, all very committed, very rooted in the communities where they come from or the work that they do, so it's difficult to schedule 24 people to get together. So they're having a hard time with that, so I'm going to suggest that some of us from that ad hoc committee of inclusion that helped put this together offer some assistance to the community advisory board to help them kind of get themselves up and running. I think they need some help. I talked to Lawrence Reyes, and he indicated that they're having that problem. But I think that the next CAB meeting is actually November 9th. so they're working to do this. But it may be that, for example, we can just help them by making some phone calls or so on. I think Shalandria, the person that volunteered from here, she seems to be really willing to kind of commit some time to this. I think Joaquin Calderon, who was at that first meeting, a young labor activist, Chicano community activist, I think is another person. So I think they have folks that are there, but you know, this is a new thing for some of them. So I think we're going to need to give them some assistance, at least offer that assistance to try to get them up and running.
The November 9th meeting, is that at the KPFK station?
You know, I don't...
I think so.
Yeah.
It's designed to have the CAB meet with the GM, isn't it?
Well, you know, we said to them that, and I don't know what they finally did, because that's really their call, is that, yeah, I think they just need a couple of people to meet with the GM. They were trying to piggyback it, but your schedule is so weird that I suggested to them that they should just try to get themselves together and have a committee meet with you instead of trying to work it around your schedule, because your schedule is crazier than most of theirs. So, but that's really their call. You know, I think what we can do is maybe help, like call the people that we know to, you know, really encourage, thank you for being on the committee. You know, we're having this meeting. Stuff that it's just hard for one or two people to do.
Okay, we have a stack. We're going to start with Eva, Maria, Israel, Sherna, David, and Jane. First, Eva.
Bill, I know you've done a tremendous amount of work around the CAB. I am concerned. I would love to help. I said, and maybe I misunderstood, but there was a meeting scheduled for 2 weeks ago for the CAB to meet with me, and I sat there for over an hour, and there was no one there. So
that was kind of hard to answer,
but, okay.
And I don't think that...
So don't make my schedule crazier than it already. No, I'm. You know, if you need help with pulling the meeting together, then that's fine. But I just want to be able for us to provide the CAB members with as much as possible so that they can do their work. We are, after all, talking about $380,000 for our station, and that report needs to. Yeah.
I'm going to have to impose a 1 minute rule here. Maria, first, 1 minute each.
I was curious what happened with some of the recommendations. I know that I had made a recommendation. I don't know if he ever was invited. I had recommended him several times. Don White had seconded it. I think Jan Goodman was also third on it. That was James Johnson. I sent Julie the information.
As far as I know, everybody that was recommended was contacted. Those that agreed were put on. I don't think anybody was excluded.
Because he told me that he did want to participate on it, and I don't know what I noticed he's not on there.
I really
can't. I know what happened.
I know that was the approach that people took, and as I understood, we had contacted everyone, and or made some effort to contact people. Now, you know, if we didn't, like there was somebody that I contacted several times, never called back, so I just assumed they weren't interested.
Well, before we go to Israel, just one question: this committee, this community advisory council, is still open. New people can be added, right?
Yeah,
okay. Chair recognizes Israel.
Yeah, and you know, I was the only one who voted against the CAP. Not on principle because of the way it's done. I don't agree with the bill that's very representative. But the quality of the people there is very good. Only half of the CAP people were there at the first meeting. And the quality is very good, very fine people. No problem with that at all. But it is not at all representative of our listening audience, not the people of the University of Columbia at all. Inclusion should not be simply because you want to reach certain elements of the population and they're all here, doesn't mean others should be excluded from wanting to take part in it. Second, I think it's very important that Eva and some of the board members meet with the CAB to talk about the background, the purpose, and so on. It's clear to me that even most of them did not know the ABC or why they were there. And that's not their fault. So it's very important whether they have the next meeting or a special meeting. Either personally and some of us meet with them. That's my opinion. And I think it ought to be broadened out at least to a minority representation of the so-called majority population of the past. That's half facetious and half serious.
Thank you. Next is Sherna.
Bill, I think we need, first of all, I haven't seen the full list, nor did I know about any meeting. I talked to Michelle Shahadi yesterday about somebody else, and he was never contacted as follow-up. other students. If we could see the list that we knew about meetings, we could, in fact, take responsibility for following up with individuals that we know so that there's some assistance. But there needs to be someone who takes charge of coordinating. And maybe it's going to have to be, you know, the folks from the original committee, somebody, until it really gets itself warm and going, because I fear that people aren't finding out about it.
Thank you.
That would be helpful. I think we can do that.
That's right. I think that's a good point. Now, David is next, and then Jane.
So I'm on the coordinating committee of the PMB, and each member of the coordinating committee is supposed to arrange to get a status report about each CAB to the executive director ASAP. So, Bill, if you're going to be at the meeting is it the 9th? One thing we need, we don't need the full report at this time, but we need just a statement, is the CAB formed, who's on it, and some sense of timeline when we can expect it, because the ED is already in contact with CPB, I think, about music. I'm not sure of that, but if yes, I'm going to call it saying, yes, it's been formed, yes, it's meeting, yes. And so if you could figure out, I know we've been emailing about it, but if you could get somebody on that CAB or somebody to take responsibility for it so I can report at the next coordinating committee meeting that he will get that, from whom, on what date, that'd be real helpful. The other thing is, given the size of the thing, you know, and given people's crazy schedules, I don't know whether it would be worth recommending that they break into several work groups, and maybe the whole thing it's only required to meet quarterly, so the whole body could meet, you know, and schedule their next year's meetings, but then subgroups could meet and do the work between. That might be an easier way to manage schedules.
Thank you very much. And our final speaker on this round.
I just wanted to get a list. I never got the list. If I could get the list, that'd be great.
Okay, and so because there is time, Leslie.
I'd like to move that we nominate a 4-member committee to put together the next CAB meeting, and that include Bill, Julie, and 2 other people.
Okay, I'm sorry, would you restate your motion? Just, I move that. Go ahead.
I move that we put together a 4-member committee of this body to include Bill, Jane, and 2 other people. Bill, Julie, excuse me, to arrange for the next CAB meeting and appropriately contact members.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded.
Point of order.
Point of order?
Yeah, you can't form, according to the bylaws, you can't form committees that way by just saying that it's easy.
Yes, arose by any other name. I mean, maybe what we should do is... It seems as though...
That 4 people volunteered to do that.
Yeah. Well, the thing, David, would you object if what Bill has said is this group is going to need some help and leadership, infrastructure support from the board. So to avoid the illegal procedure of creating... Okay, I'm going to continue talking. Just let me get this. Would you object if we... deal with this simply around the issue of Bill's recommendation that group needs support from the board? David?
Yeah, I propose a substitute. We had a committee that formed it. Ask the chair or the leaders of that committee to please convene the process and move it forward.
Yeah, with maybe the proviso informally that other members of the board who want to help your committee can come on board.
Yeah, here's what I mainly think we do, is we got to help them to do it for themselves. I don't know if we should all be the one. You know, what I mainly think they need to do is they need to have a core. Right now it's Lawrence. He needs to involve a couple other people, and I think he can. But, you know, we just need to kind of think of a good way to kind of propose that to him, work with the other folks, and get that together. Then I think it'll happen.
Okay, you know, I'm going to actually kind of try to get the goodwill of the board. I understand where you're going, Leslie. You want that support that Bill is talking about. And clearly, Bill and Julie are 2 of those people. Could we simply give the mandate to Julie and Bill to draw on any of us rather than formally passing? Would you be willing to withdraw your motion in the spirit that Bill, Julie, and others of us, I agree that we don't want to dominate them, but we want to just support them.
I would withdraw it with the understanding that Bill and or Julie at our next meeting have a concrete report on a CAB meeting at least one that's passed or one that's scheduled, that we can have something concrete in front of us, however that happens.
Okay, do you understand? Okay, so the motion and the second have been withdrawn, but the spirit is still there, that Bill, Julie, and others, and that the next LSB meeting have a report on how the CAB is functioning, especially around their coordination with the GM, around the report to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. There's a lot of money involved in that.
Yes.
Okay, the final comment, David, and then we'll have to move ahead.
There was a committee formed, the CAB Formation Committee. Let's just, if we could have a report.
That's what we're talking about. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move the agenda. If you'll go to your agendas, we're now at agenda item 5.
Don, I have a question of procedure or something. Do we have a timer for each of the agenda items? We've assigned times to them, and I think we need to have a timer and a formal motion to extend.
I actually brought a timer, and we actually indulged the general manager and that report. We just went way over time. Yes, that's right. Is that this is a two-parter. The first one is a brief, it would have to be 7 minutes, a brief report from the Interim Program Council, and Sherna and others wanted that to come from the council. I thought it was coming from our representatives on the council. Then the second part is the complexities of LSB representation on the IPC. So let's see, who will make a very brief update on the Community Advisory Board? It had a meeting.
Interim program.
I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong line. I was on the wrong line. The Interim Program Council. Okay, Marie, we're talking about the Interim Program Council that met in the phone room at KPFK. It had all the stakeholders there for the first time. The agenda was primarily dealing with the 50% women, 50% people of color mandate. Remember that meeting?
Oh, okay, yes.
Yes. Would you like to make a brief report on on that meeting? It was the first time that all stakeholders were in the room together. Maybe you can hand her a microphone, someone.
As I recalled, there were many people in the room, and I really felt kind of out of place, and I really did not have a grip on what all of the issues were. And I felt at that point there was another, what's the other lady, Jan, was it?
Grace.
And Grace was involved in that group, and she's very dedicated to the work of that group. And here I was, because this board sent me there, I felt she was the most appropriate person to represent this board, because she has the dedication, she understands the issues, and I think she would be more appropriate than I am at this time.
Okay, I am
the official member of the IPC here now. There's been some question about who was there, the gender, race, and all that stuff. I was making promises for a short review.
According to well, whatever.
One moment. Yes. I'm sorry, Jan.
How much time does she have?
You know, you have. We had 7 minutes for this, so we have to do this in 4 minutes.
I'll do it pretty fast. No, no. You have two halves of this. You have the listener sponsor part, and you have the LSB part. Okay. And then if you want to divide up further with staff part, then that would be dividing. Okay. Well, I am the listener sponsor who has gone to the meeting several times of the IPC because I really believe it is an important part of the structure so that listeners have a direct place to go so they can learn about how to do programming, they can learn what policies there are, so they can learn what they can do to influence, and it's separate from a board that tries to run things. It's more of a feed plate. So I have gone to those meetings. People have been very dedicated about ideas, but the actual tangible getting people involved hasn't been there. What I saw at that meeting, which was the first time there was everybody there, was immediately when you say management and certain programmers who are extremely competent and very, very experienced, was that all of a sudden management and the experienced programmers were like taking over the meeting, and it wasn't given to the listener sponsors as they had had before to start formulating whatever ideas we had as listener sponsors that we ran on when we ran and that people supported us on. Ours were like, woo, it's like really not, as far as I know, I got stuck in traffic. It's a very problematic thing, but we were sort of like overrun by the other people, which is, I think, kind of a reversal of what the interim program council was meant to be. So that is the one issue I would like to find a way to address. We may need to, instead of finding diversity by excluding people, to make diversity happen by expanding the number of people that you have involved. Because I felt very funny being a woman and getting on there and maybe kicking off someone else who I thought was a very competent member of this board. So I'd like to have those issues discussed and how to broaden this program council instead of making it interim, to make it independent or some other letter so that we can actually have a place. I already have thousands of ideas. I even talked to Armando about it, of how to make it more easy for people and for him to get, if you tell me, for him to every once a week or once a month have a series of workshops on how you do programming. What are the guidelines? That's
Margo.
Margo, yes. let me just make a comment. What we were interested in is a kind of more objective report on what happened at the
meeting. That's what I'm saying what happened.
I would like to give I would like to give it after all.
Well, one moment. Now, Margo, you still have 1 minute.
Okay.
And I would like you to finish your report. There's mumbling and grumbling here.
Oh, okay.
So go ahead. You have 1 minute.
I'm saying that there has to be some serious consideration according to what had been going on at meetings beforehand was actually policies and ideas being presented, which were very representative of the listeners, that if this is going to function as an independent board, that it has to have expansion of the amount of listeners on it, whether by election or selection or volunteering, to make it more functional and to give it more of a space in the actual structure of the station. And objectively speaking, I watched it go, woo, all to the side of programmers and management, and that's objective, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Margaret, very much. Now, before we move ahead, I want the board to deal with both elements of this. If you'll look at agenda item 5, one element is a report on that meeting, and the second one is the LSB representation on the interim program council.
Recognizes
Sherna.
Okay, I would like to try and collapse the two items. The interim program council, which is still called interim and will be until this body or some other body comes up with another plan, was constructed in a specific way. One of the things that happened at the meeting, it was an extremely, from my point of view, an extremely productive meeting. There was some concern because the meeting had been called by management. No one else was taking responsibility for calling the meeting. This was not an issue of listeners or staff or management. It is a single body composed of 21 representatives from different constituencies. One of the issues, Michael Novick was elected chair pro tem for the meeting and Raphael secretary pro tem for the meeting. The largest portion of the meeting
revolved around the issue of the affirmative action requirement that we had originally passed in constructing this IPC. The other issue, it took time, it's not complete, as Harrison and I can now report. It is not complete. It did mean, and everyone knew all along, that it would mean that some people would be replaced in order to meet that affirmative action requirement. That was always understood to be the case. And I was told that members, the listener members, had known that all along, number one. There was some concern on the part of some members that the seven listeners who had been meeting regularly and had passed a bunch of motions, that those were not policy. They cannot be policy. They were not passed by a body. The body was not formed until that meeting of whatever the date was. There was finally, after discussion of this, there was finally agreement by all members, I believe, after a motion by Tom Camarella, that all of these positions and motions that had been already passed would now be forwarded to what is now the body for its consideration and, I would suspect, passage. But they are not automatically in place. They now have to be approved by the body. So that's at least my take on the meeting. In terms of the issue of the LSB representative, there was a great deal of confusion about who from the former lab is or and is not on the IPC. Earl Grant presumably had informed people that he wished to remain on it and was going to be at the meeting that night. He was not. Supposedly, he called someone afterwards and apologized for not being there. The problem is that we elected two women, it has to be women, two women from the LSB to be on that body to replace what we thought were two people who were not going to be on it, Julie and Earl. If indeed Earl is on it, then we replace only one person. I thought that the top vote getter, Marie, would be the one that would be. But Harrison, I guess rightly argues under STV that we voted as if there were two slots and that we have to now vote again for one slot.